Academy is a documentary streaming on Disney Plus spotlighting a transformative sailing program based at the Royal Cape Yacht Club in Cape Town, South Africa. Directed by award-winning South African filmmaker Julia Jansch, the documentary follows the journey of Azila Rossi, a young woman from Khayelitsha. And we have Julia Jansch in the studio with us. Thanks, Julia, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Linda.
Well, we know you as the Tribeca winner for My Father, the Mover. Tell us about this documentary, and it's for Disney.
Well, yes, and it's very humbling, I must say, to have made a documentary for Disney of all platforms. And I'm very encouraged by such a major global platform finding interest in such a unique South African story. And it's about a young sailor called Azila Rossi, and contextually also about the Academy, which is a sailing school within the Royal Cape Yacht Club in Cape Town, which is teaching kids from underprivileged backgrounds, from, you know, young women, kids of color, how to sail, in an endeavor to change the face of the Royal Cape Yacht Club. And we all know that sailing has, you know, you don't typically find young girls like Azila wandering around an antiquated yacht club. And so it's a big transformative goal on the part of the club. And it's essentially Azila's story.
As you said, the, you know, sailing is an elite sport. So, you know, why use that to tell your story of, what is it, identity, access, and transformation? Or was it just that the story was there and you thought you had to tell it?
Yeah, you know, I think with all documentary filmmaking, you go in thinking you're going to tell one story, and you look and you look and you turn over stones and you look in crevices and something else emerges. So I went in thinking that I was going to tell Lindani, who is at the helm of the Academy. He's the kind of prophetic teacher, organizer. And Lindani is very much in the documentary because his philosophies on transformation and on his intention in terms of what he's doing there is very important to the story. However, meeting all the students and talking to all the young sailors, including Azila, I did find something much deeper and personal, in the sense that there was this young woman who was dealing with a very painful personal wound that the sea, essentially, but also sailing and finding belonging in this, you know, school and in this yacht club was helping to solve, and to heal, essentially. So it became about telling Azila's story within the world of the Academy and within the world of the Royal Cape Yacht Club, and this very exciting race that she was going to skipper for the first time, incidentally very metaphorical, around Robben Island.
Yeah, she was really excited to think that, you know, that was where Nelson Mandela was. I watched your documentary, you know, for that association, and that she could, you know, circle it.
Yes, exactly. And it was her first time at the helm of a boat as a skipper. She's twice sailed to Rio de Janeiro from Cape Town, which I certainly could never do, let alone was I on the boat a lot on the actual race day, rather kind of chuffling behind in a rubber ducky. So they're brave girls, and the weather was crazy and the wind was beating that Cape Doctor southeaster wind. But Azila and her crew still made it around the island, and yeah, it was a wonderful feat.
Well, it seems you like to tell these stories of transformation, and that was what her story as well. But what else did you discover while you were doing that? Because she had also had some identity things that she needed to confront or talk about.
Yeah, so, you know, Azila comes from the Eastern Cape, and her mother, she discovered only later on in life that her aunt, who's in the documentary, Nomanisi, is actually her aunt and not her mother. Nomanisi raised Azila because her mother wasn't around. And she had always carried this feeling of abandonment with her and neglect, and she could never understand it. And then when she did find out who her actual mother was, her mother would come and visit her. And she says in the documentary, every time my mother would leave, I wanted to go with her. And I didn't understand. But she comes clean in the sense that she says that the sea speaks to you, but you have to understand what it says to you. And the sea spoke to her and told her that her mother did what she had to do. And her relationship with the ocean has enabled her to forgive her mother, and to feel belonging, because she belongs anyway, you know, like we all belong, no matter what our circumstances and backgrounds are, mother or no mother, present mother or not present mother. And she found that healing out in the ocean. So here you have a very universal, universally applicable trajectory and healing of a core wound that many people can relate to, that don't necessarily come from the Eastern Cape, then on to Khayelitsha, that find themselves in the academy.
Are you able, do you think, with this to reach a far more international audience to tell South African stories?
I do, and it was astounding when the academy went live on July 9th, and I went on to www.disneyplus.com, and it was right there on the homepage. So very discoverable by anyone going on to www.disney.com. And I had people from way back chapters in my life reaching out saying, "Oh my gosh, I've seen this documentary. I used to have her own little dinghy back in the day at this sailing school, this institution." So it was amazing to see how many people did, you know, respond to it. And further to that, the fact that, like I said, Disney is telling these very, very niche stories for the world is great. And puts I love that it also puts a spotlight on our stories, South African stories, which are so rich in spirit, and again, universally applicable as well.
Well, tell us a bit about your earlier work. What kind of stories attract you?
I had a very interesting kind of road to where I got to today, because I went to film school and then I went to business school. And I started out in the media space at a company called Fremantle Media, which does Idol and X Factor and all those crazy reality shows. So I had this experience of kind of real world stories. Obviously, they're very different type of stories. And that was in their London office. Eventually, I was moved to their Los Angeles office. And then from there, I got transferred to New York to a company called Radical Media, which do a lot of kind of key documentaries. They did the, you know, What Happened Nina Simone documentary and Summer of Soul, and they did the show Abstract, The Art of Design on Netflix. So I was in the development team, which is where you come up with the ideas and pitch the ideas. And but working in development for so long, I eventually found myself a little bit frustrated, because then when they're pitched and greenlit, the real creatives kind of take over. And so what happened was, I decided, now I want to start making my own films and set up Southern Point Pictures, and have been working in, you know, I did a couple of commercials, lots of short documentaries, and now I'm on the cusp of doing I'm in the edit on my debut feature documentary. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I'm gonna soon have a green light on my first feature narrative scripted film.
Well, so there's a lot in the pipeline for you. Can you give us a little idea of the topic or where you're heading?
Yeah. The feature documentary is all about the world of car spinning, which I think, again, you know, very unusual world Southern Point Pictures is very much set up to tell local stories for an international market. You know, we have had that show Spinners that Canal Plus, I think, translated into I don't know how many different languages. That was scripted. This is a documentary, and hopefully it's going to be something completely new, a new world, a new and again, I found a very personal story within this world. Because that's my kind of thing, is to find what person, what wound is the world addressing. So that's the feature documentary, and the feature narrative is very different. It's a whodunit, murder mystery set on a safari.
What are the challenges and advantages of shooting these, well, documentaries, films in South Africa?
I think that, you know, South Africa is in a very unique position in the sense that there's a spotlight on Africa, I feel, at the moment. I think that the world is very interested in Africa, very interested in South Africa. I feel like there's many stories that haven't been told and haven't been heard, and for a global audience, but that are also, like I say, universally like relatable. I think that we have incredible spaces and places and cultures and dynamics, and just it's interesting because it's novel for international audiences. So yeah.
And the challenges, because I looked at you shooting in Table Bay, which can be choppy, and the wind comes up. And as you've talked about the Cape, the Cape Doctor, is it's are there challenges or shooting in Khayelitsha?
Yeah, there are always challenges. You know, the wind came, ferocious wind, which kind of screeched through. As you saw in the documentary, you know, Lindani had to kind of, I don't know, decide whether or not the race was going to go forward. And actually, Azile, they had a really tough time, and they finished way after everyone did. But that wasn't the point. The point was that they finished. So they we had to deal with this crazy wind, but you know what? It made for more drama, which is always good for a film. Shooting in Khayelitsha, you know, it's dangerous places, and you got to, you know, it's tricky because I really wanted to maintain a sense of intimacy on set with Azila. She was opening up about very personal things. Yeah, I mean, what we had to do is go in and convoy. Obviously, like when you work with a community of people, there you're in and you're so protected, but anything can happen. We just did this feature in the Cape Flats, and we were working in the Cape Flats, you know, where it's also crazy dangerous. And you know, we actually on the one day our security arriving beforehand was robbed, but by the time we got to set, everything was returned because there was a connection there. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. So there's a lot of blurry lines in this world, but people are desperate and people are starving, and one has to just go in with a huge amount of empathy.
And there are always people who want to help.
And there are always people who want to help, exactly.
That's what I find as a journalist shooting in townships. It's dangerous, but there's always somebody who wants to help if you have a problem or if you lose things.
And I actually think it's super important that you know, the townships are so, there's desperation, but there's hope. It's such a kind of yin and yang world, and I think it's really important to show the hope. And it's important to also show the desperation so that things can be done about it. But to go in with empathy and to try and as best paint the picture for how it really is, which is very hard to do. One wants to see people like Azila as heroes and not as have-nots. And I think that's what's key about these types of films I want to make and stories that I want to tell, is these people are heroes. I mean, Azila became my hero, the young female spinner I'm shooting right now. I mean, I look up to her like, wow. And I just hope that other girls, no matter where they're from, look up to these women and just feel like they can overcome anything.
Julia, it's so nice speaking to you, and good luck with this.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much.